Amen. Well, if you're visiting here tonight, we're sure glad that you've joined us, and I encourage you, please come back when Pastor Blaylock is in the pulpit. I know he'll be a great blessing to you, but we're so glad all of you are here tonight. I want to say a quick word of thank you. My mom, as many of you know, she fell several weeks ago, and she broke her shoulder, she broke her hip, and she was at the airport. She had to have surgery on her hip and on her shoulder, and this past week I was able to go up to Georgia and see her, and she's been greatly encouraged by the number of you that have reached out to her, said, hey, we're praying for you, and we had a good time. We were able to minister to each other. She said she's been watching online, and her roommate's a good old Southern Georgia girl, and she's got those long vowels that she says, Bible, vowel, you know, but she said, you know, I don't know your pastor, but I sure love his voice. Listening on the live stream there, he puts me to sleep. but what a great blessing that this church is able to minister to people via live stream. You know, over and over again, I hear, you know, we watch online. One time I walked into a tropical smoothie up in Stewart, and the lady at the counter, she said, I know who you are. I said, oh boy. how do you know who I am? Well, I watch you and that other fella do that show on the live stream, the B&B show. How many of you want to see the B&B show come back? Oh, you all okay? But to thank the Lord, my wife and I are so glad to be here and being part of what God is doing in this church, through this church. And I just wanted to pass on a word of thanks from my mom. And I'm pretty sure she's probably watching tonight. And continue to pray for her. She's going to be in rehab for another probably 3 or 4 weeks, working on her shoulder. And it was good to see her, but it's always good to be back home. I want to draw your attention to a phrase that we find 3 times in 4 verses, in the verses that we just read. Starting in verse number 12, would you look at it? The Bible says, wherefore, I would not be negligent to put you always in what? Remembrance of these things. Verse number 13, the Bible says, yea, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in, there's the word again, remembrance. And then down to verse number 15, if you would please, the Bible says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Now, I am not very smart, but I don't perceive myself to be real stupid either. When God says something once, we ought to obey it, right? But if God says something more than once, we ought to take special attention to what He has to say in His Word. Peter, of course, we know his life story as a fisherman. There he was on the shore. He'd spent all night catching nothing. And Jesus entered into the ship, and of course, as he went with the Lord Jesus, he was there on the ship, and Jesus tells them to cast it, and Peter says, well, I've caught nothing, but nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And of course, we know what happens. They draw up a great net of fishes, so much so that the net was about to break. And from that moment on, Peter starts to follow the Lord Jesus. Everywhere that Jesus goes, Peter is sticking close to him. He's there to witness many of the miracles that Jesus does. He gets to go to the Mount of Transfiguration. There's nobody quite like Jesus, amen. When Jesus entered into his life, everything was about to change. But then, as Jesus has been taken by the Sanhedrin, he's going to be crucified. Jesus had already told him, hey, listen, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but 3 times you're going to deny that you even know who I am. And even somebody like Peter, who'd followed the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, even he messes up. Even he denies the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. He fails the Lord. And it's a sad story for so many people. Even somebody like the Apostle Peter can fail the Lord. But we know that failure is not final in God's economy. Amen? So as he's gone, he said, I go a-fishing. And there some of the disciples went with him. And some person comes walking on the seashore saying, cast it on the right side. Sounds a little bit familiar in Peter's life. He cast the net on the right side. They bring in the fish. And Peter knew as soon as that happened, hey, that's the Lord Jesus. He jumps into the water. He swims to the shore. And he meets up with Jesus. And Jesus brings him back to himself. Hey, listen tonight. Aren't you glad that when we mess up, that the Lord Jesus doesn't say, I'm done with you. He doesn't just throw you off to the side, but the work of the Lord in our lives is always bringing us to Himself. It's always to reconcile. It's always to rebuild. It's always to make right the breach that is in our lives. He's always seeking to bring us back to Him. This man who denied the Lord three times, the one who was known for having the big mouth out of the group, he's now been forgiven, and now he's gone on to be a fisherman, to being a fisher of men. He's gone from failing to the Lord to being forgiven, and now God calls him to be fruitful. Hey, listen, yes, there's times in your past where you might mess up, but God is seeking to reconcile. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now go and be fruitful. And so one of the evidences of Peter's fruitfulness here is the very fact that he writes, he's been used of the Lord to pen, the human author of books of the Bible. It's amazing to me the transformation that takes place in his life. He was somebody that used his big mouth. He was always the one that was going to speak up. You know, I see a lot of that in me sometimes. Always using the loud mouth, right, Brother Andy? But Peter was somebody that used his loud mouth. We even seeing that he's cursing and denying the Lord. But the Lord changes his life. Look at verse number 1 of Peter, chapter number 1. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Watch this now. To them that have obtained like precious faith. What a transformation that occurs in Peter's life. Jesus said to him, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He goes from swearing to using words like precious. The gospel changes lives. And Peter is going through his life and he's writing this letter. He reminds us that soon his life is going to be over. We're reminded again that Peter was crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to be crucified like the Lord Jesus. But he says there in verse number 15, moreover, I endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. He's reminding us that after his life, there's something I want you to know. There's some things that I want you to get. There's some things that I want you to remember in this life. There's some things I want you to get down and that you don't forget them. And that's why I've titled the message tonight, Don't Forget to Remember. Sometimes we're in the hustle and bustle of everyday life. What's the song they sing this time of year? It's the most stressful time of the wonderful time of the year. Everybody's selling and everybody's yelling. I don't know the words, but it's a stressful time of year. We get caught up in the hustle and bustle of everyday life. We have busy schedules. We have work to go to. There's families to take care of. There's responsibilities that all of us have. But Peter, here in chapter number 1 of 2 Peter, is reminding us, hold on. It's time to stop, and it's time to remember. Why do we need to remember? By way of introduction here tonight, why remember? Because sometimes we forget. Sometimes as we take a look at everything going around in this world, the hustle and the bustle, the good news and the bad news, elections, and all of these things that are going on, it's easy to get distracted away from the things of God. It's easy to forget all that God has done in our lives and in our ministry and all He's doing in this world. It's easy to get so busy that we forget everything God is doing in our life. We remember because we forget. We need to remember because we fail. Sometimes we fail, we falter, but we need to remember the grace of God and remember all these things that Peter is about to tell us to remember. We need to remember not just because we forget, not just because we fail, but we also fret. We worry. We get things in our minds. We get anxiety in our hearts. All these things happen. We fret, but we need not worry. We just need to remember what God already said in His Word. Why remember? Because we forget, we fail, we fret, we frown. How many of you have ever been discouraged in your life before? It's one of the greatest tools, I'm convinced, of the devil tonight is to discourage God's people. If he can't destroy you, he'll distract you. If he can't distract you, he'll discourage you. He'll get your mind off the things of God. He'll try to discourage you. Things happen in this world. Things happen in our life, and it's quite easy, quite honestly, to be discouraged sometimes. I think about people in the Old Testament. I think about King David, somebody that God used in a mighty way, somebody that was after God's own heart, somebody who killed the giant with a sling and a stone, and somebody that God used in a mighty way, but yet we find him getting discouraged because Saul won't get off his case. We find that he goes into Ziklag, he's running away, and he forgets a lot about what God had already done in his life. He spends years away from the promised land. He spent years away from the town of Jerusalem, where he's supposed to be as king. He's kind of running from the problems, and he forgets when we find that finally that he encourages himself in the Lord. He, all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute, I remembered. We need to remember because we forget. We need to remember because we fail. We need to remember because we fret. We need to remember because we frown, and we need to remember because sometimes we get faint. How many of you have ever been tired in your life before? Yes? All right. Sometimes we get tired, we get faint. And that's why it's good for us to remember what God says in His Word. It's good for us to remember what He has already said. It hasn't changed any. The last time I checked, the Bible's still the Bible. He's not forgotten what He said. He's not forgotten what He's promised. He's not forgotten anything that's in the pages of Scripture. He intends on keeping every promise. He intends on fulfilling every prophecy. And so we need to remember these things. Don't forget to remember. All right, Brother Kevin, what is it that we're supposed to remember? I'm glad you asked. First of all, I want you to consider this tonight. Don't forget to remember the person of God. Who is God? And we'll take it right from His Word. Look, please, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We're not supposed to forget Jesus and His place. He is Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the one that came to this earth, the one that paid for our sin. He's the one that's on His throne. He's in control. He's not afraid. He's not squeezing a stress ball. He's not afraid of anything that's going on in this world. He is on His throne. This is Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Son that we get to serve. Don't forget who He is, the one that spoke the world into existence using nothing but His words. He hung the moon in place and the stars in space, and He's got the earth hanging on nothing, right? This is the God that we get to serve. He's the King of kings and He is the Lord of lords. Don't forget the place of God. He is high and He's holy and He is lifted up. He's the God that we get to serve. Remember the person of God and His place. Remember the person of God and His purpose. I think about what it says in verse number 1, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say in Philippians in chapter number 2, verse number 5? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here is the purpose. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, Jesus came to this earth. Don't forget what He did for you. He left the portals of glory. He came, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It goes on to say in Romans chapter number 5, it said, for peradventure for a good man some would dare to die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't forget the purpose that God has for you. He knew that you and I were stuck in our sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He knew that we owed the wages of sin was death, but He gave the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't forget what Jesus has done for you. Think about salvation. His purpose in your life. I told the kids the other day at Jupiter High School, And I hope you'll keep praying for that ministry there at Jupiter High School. We meet during lunchtime, and it's just a real simple time. It's prayer and it's Bible study. And the FCA folks, they asked me to preach, teach, and I said, okay, I'd love to. Now, I was thinking about what do you preach on to a bunch of teenagers? We've been having, between both lunches, there's about 90 kids or so. And it's a great blessing. What am I going to teach a bunch of kids? Somebody told me in Bible college, when you're not sure what to preach on, just preach Jesus. So that's what we did. We went through and talked about salvation. Told them my story, how I grew up across the street from a deacon in the family. And you guys know, probably most of you know the story, but the bus came and started picking me up. And I started coming to this church, and I heard every Sunday, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I remember coming here on that bus, hearing that Jesus loved me, that the payment of sin was death, separated from God, but Jesus, he showed his love towards us, that when I was a sinner, he died for me. You know what? It's good to sit down, and it's good to think about what Jesus has done in your life. What's your salvation testimony? And by the way, tonight, if you don't have a salvation testimony, we'd love to help you get one. Remember, don't forget to remember the person of God, God in his place, God in his purpose, God in his presence. And you think about all that God is in your life. He's the all in all. He's alive tonight. He's almighty. He's all powerful. He's the author and the finisher. He's my buckler. He's the beginning and the end. He's a big God. He's a creator. He's coming again. He's a deliverer. He's my defender. He's everlasting. He's everywhere at the same time. He's my friend, my father. He's faithful to me. He's good. He's God, and he's my God. He's my God. He's high and he's holy and lifted up. He's my help in time of trouble. He's the great I am. He is Jesus. He's the just judge. He's the justifier. The King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's living today. He's majestic. He's the master. He's never ending. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He's precious. He's the propitiation for our sins. He's powerful. He is the God of peace. He's pure. He's quintessential. Amen. He's the quickener of our dead souls. He's our redeemer, our savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the understanding God, of victorious God. He's worthy. He's the way. He's wonderful. He's Yahweh, and he's zealous for us. This is the God that we have. This is the God that we shouldn't forget to remember. I had a professor in college, and every now and again, he would tell the story. It was from he had that good southern drawl as well, Brother Paulie, the heels of West Virginia. He talked about his grandma, how they would sit out on the porch, and she would just talk about the character and the goodness of God. And she used to say these words, I just want to look at him. I just want to look at him. What does God say in his word in Psalm 46 and verse number 10? Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we're just so busy we forget to remember. Don't forget to remember the person of God. Secondly, tonight, don't forget to remember the people of God. Aren't you glad tonight for church? There's nothing like the local church on this earth. I look out over the congregation tonight. There's a host of people that, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, you would have nothing in common with me, and I would have nothing in common with you. Everybody comes from different backgrounds. Some people from different countries, from different families, different parts of this world. Everybody has a different background, but Jesus Christ unifies and brings us all together. There's nothing like the local church and the people of God. I can go anywhere and talk about how the Gators trounced on Ole Miss last night or yesterday. But here we can come and we can talk about Jesus together. We could talk about the goodness of God. We could talk about salvation. We can talk about the Bible together. And we can get excited for the things of God together in the local church. It's a place where we bear one another's burdens. It's a place that we can provoke one another unto good works. It's a place where we can pray for each other. It's a place where we can help each other. It's a place that we can be together and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who's worthy, together. It's a wonderful place. Remember the people of God. I think of what Paul says. Philippians, all through Philippians, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. Be thankful for the people of God. Did you know that your presence here tonight encourages somebody else? Just by you being here, it encourages somebody else that is here. It encourages your pastor who can't be here tonight. It is an encouraging thing. The people of God, we all here in Jesus Christ been forgiven. We have fellowship and we have a common function to go out and give the gospel to this world, to let people know that there is a Savior, and that Jesus Christ is Lord. We have come together with unity, hopefully with urgency, with understanding of God's plan and an unction to function as a church, as a group of people together. It's amazing to me that there's people here that are Ohio State fans and there's people here that are Michigan fans, and they get along as long as they stay away from that, I guess. What a wonderful thing the local church is, bringing people together. Don't forget the people of God. You're cared for, you're loved in the local church. There's a place for you to serve in the local church. There's a place for you to be helped in the local church. There's a place that you can be cared for, that you can be prayed for in the local church. Don't forget the people of God. Don't forget to remember the person of God. Don't forget to remember the people of God. Thirdly tonight, don't forget to remember the provision of God. Look, please, the power and provision of God. Look, please, at verse number 3 of our text. The Bible says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Did you know today that God has provided for you and for me, everything we need to live for him today? You don't have to wait for something to come into your life to do the will of God. You can do that will of God today. God has given you everything that you need to serve him. God has given you everything that you need to live for him. God has given you everything that you need to be pure for him in this wicked world. God has given you everything that you need that pertains unto life and godliness. You lack nothing to serve God the way you should today. He's provided for you. I look around the room tonight and I'm thanking the Lord that all of us have clothes on our back. God's provided for you. I look around the room and I say that God has provided for us. We have food in our bellies. I have a lot more probably than you do. But God has taken care of us. God has provided for us. God has led us this far, and he's not going to fail you in the future. Sometimes this is the trap that some people fall into, is they look at everything else around that they don't have instead of everything that they do have. Isn't that what Eve fell into? God had said to Adam in the garden that you can eat of every tree of the trees of the garden. But what Eve heard is, oh, I can't have that one tree over there. I have all these other things that I can freely eat of, but I can't have that one. Listen, tonight, don't forget the provision of God in your life. Everything that he's given you, you don't have to look at the things that you don't have. Instead, look at everything that you do have. He's richly blessed you, especially in this country. We are such a richly blessed people. God has provided for you. Sometimes we forget, especially the season that we enter in Thanksgiving. Oh, God's been so good to us. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. We just sang it a moment ago. God's provided for us everything that we need to serve him today. He never asks you for what you do not have. Don't forget to remember the person of God. Don't forget to remember the people of God. Don't forget to remember the power and provision of God. Fourthly, very quickly tonight, don't forget to remember the promises of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4, the Bible says, whereby are given unto us, here it is, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has given us his exceeding and great and precious promises. He's promised you salvation. We were teaching about this in junior church the other day. The fact there's a lot of things in this world that you can lose. I told the kids at how my dad had this broken down old boat and we were on the intercoastal, and I had this toy wakeboard on my fingers and I would skip over the little waves on the intercoastal, and the wave came up as we were going down the water and it knocked the little toy wakeboard off of my fingers, and I watched it slowly sink to the bottom of the intercoastal. Oh no, as a kid I was crestfallen. And I was talking to the kids, tell me of something that you wouldn't want to lose. And I reminded them, there's a lot of things in this world that you can lose, but salvation and eternal life is not one of those things. God has promised us that we have eternal life, and that's what eternal life is. It is eternal. The eternal. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that we're sealed by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Once you become a child of God, once you're born into the family of God, your salvation is sealed. You're in God's hand, or Jesus' hand, and Jesus' hand's in God the Father's hand. You have salvation, and that you can never lose. Thank God for the promise of salvation. Thank God for the promise of His Scriptures. Here in chapter number 1 and verse number 19, it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. I remind you that God has given us His Word. He's given us the Scripture. This is an amazing book that we have that God has given to us. Over 1,500 years it took to put together, 40 different authors, 3 different languages, 3 different continents, yet one singular message. God has given us everything we need to serve Him. His promises of salvation, the promises that we find in Scripture. How about this? He promised His presence. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the worst day of your life, He's there. In the best day, He's there. And everything in between. Don't forget to remember, He's there. Here's another promise for you. He's coming again. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, which we made known unto you, the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." We're reminded again that He is coming again. We sang it this morning. Every promise that He gives, He keeps. Sometimes we live as Christians as practical atheists. Yes, we would say we believe what the Bible says, but the way that we live our life says that no, we've forgotten. Don't forget to remember. Fifthly, very quickly tonight, don't forget to remember the process of godliness. Aren't you glad tonight that God is still working on you? How many of you have been down Indian Town Road lately? Anybody get in the flesh down Indian Town Road? Stoplight, yes, everybody. You look at Indian Town Road, even up where we are in Stewart, there's these cones everywhere, it seems. They used to be called, a lot of those cones, they say this, they say Bob's Barricades. Do you ever get any money from those? No, my dad didn't either. But it seems like around us, South Florida, anywhere you go, it's always under construction. But you know, as long as you have breath in your lungs tonight, you're still under construction too. The Bible says in Philippians 1 and verse 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." If you have breath, then God's still working on you. Here's what the Bible says on this subject. Look at verse number 5, chapter number 1. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." These are things that God has given us that we can always be working on. Several years ago when I was in high school, one of the greatest trumpet players in the world came to the Kravis Center. He has Grammys and every type of music that you can think of. And somebody said, "Hey, I'd like to take you to that." And I said, "Okay." So we got in the car, went down to the Kravis Center, and there we got tickets to listen to Wynton Marsalis. And one of the greatest trumpet players of our time, I think, ever. Some of you have no idea who that is, and that's okay. I'll be the band nerd tonight. But he got up there, and he led the orchestra. Wow. And I watched documentaries on him and listened to him, listened to his playing, the tone that he has, just how quick he can go on the trumpet, and all these different things. But even the greatest trumpet player in the world, you know what he still does? He's still working at it. There's never a place to stop. There's never a place to think, well, I've made it, I'm good to go, all is well. There's never a place where he was to stop working on his craft as a trumpet player. And I remind you tonight, as long as you and I have breath in our lives, God's still working on us, and we should still be working on following his commandments, following his word. Always adding, always building, always trying to be more like Jesus Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit. Remember the process of godliness. God is still working on you. Then lastly tonight, we talked about, don't forget to remember the person of God. Don't forget to remember the people of God. Don't forget to remember the power and provision of God. Don't forget to remember the promises of God. Don't forget to remember the process of godliness. But lastly tonight, don't forget to respond to the promptings of God. Hey, listen, we need to work at this. We need to remember. It's something that is a choice that we can make. You know, I think in our Christian lives, one of the greatest things, one of the greatest ingredients that is missing in a lot of Christian lives is this thing of meditation. I'm not talking about going into your room, lighting a bunch of incense, sitting on the edge of the bed with a bunch of candles. No, not that. But the process of thinking on the Lord and His character deliberately. We spend so much time thinking about so many other things. But when is it time to respond? It's time to put into action. Don't just do nothing, but make a time. I have this written down here, 2 Peter verse number 5, and beside this, giving all diligent, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Listen, this is an action that we're supposed to take. Don't forget to respond to the promptings of God. In other words, be deliberate about your time to remember Him. Sometimes it's just good to put everything else away and be deliberate to make the decision to think and meditate on the character of God and His Word and salvation in your own life. Don't ever get far away from the place you got saved. I mean by that, don't ever forget when God saved you. Don't get far from Calvary. You can be deliberate. You can say, I'm going to make a time to where I can sit and read and sit and think and sit and remember the things of God. It takes a lot of deliberate choices to do that sometimes. It doesn't happen by accident. Be deliberate in thinking and meditating on the Lord. It requires diligence because there's a lot of distractions. I've heard the quote, well, I'm just too busy to read God's word. I'm too busy to pray. I'm trying to make it a priority, but I've always got so much going on. And let me tell you again tonight, you've heard this before, but busyness doesn't rob you of your priorities. Busyness reveals what your true priorities are. You'll make time for what you want to do. So it's deliberate. Be diligent. And then as a fruit of that, be delighted in it. It's just good sometimes in this crazy world in which we live to take time and to think about the character of God and the fact that He's mindful of you and I, that He knows your name, that He answers your prayer. What a wonderful Savior we have. And the challenge tonight is in your time of all the busyness, especially this time of year brings, is don't forget to remember. Think about the goodness of God in your life. You know, it's amazing. You think about the goodness of God, everything else just kind of takes a back seat, no matter what's going on in our life. God is good. And so tonight, let's not forget to remember. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. We all get so busy. We're going to have our invitation now, but let's take some time with the Lord, even there in your seat, to remember. To think on Him. I wonder here tonight, is there anybody here that say, Brother Kevin, I know that I'm a Christian. I know that I've been born again, I've been saved, but I've got to be honest, sometimes I get too busy and I need to take it seriously, this thing about meditation and remembering all these characteristics. If that's you tonight, I'd love to pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up in the air so I can pray for you? Amen. Hands all over the room. Thank the Lord for that. Also, I want to take the time in a group this size, I wonder, is there somebody here tonight that you say, I'm not sure that I've ever been saved? You talk about salvation, never getting far from Calvary. I'm not sure what all that's about. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that when your life is over, you go to heaven because your sins are forgiven, I'd love to pray for you. I won't embarrass you, but if you're here tonight and not sure that you're saved, would you just slip your hand up in the air? All right. Well, let's pray together and make this time a time to do business with God. As Brother Jason comes and Miss Darlene plays, let's pray together. Father, I do pray that you would help us in this matter of remembering the character of God, remembering your people, remembering your promises, taking time, making time to spend time with you. And Father, as we go into invitation, help us with this, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.